This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prizm, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Busy 2 hours coming up. We'll hear from the Iowa women's basketball coach, Lisa Bluter, after the big win last night. We'll hear from Caitlin Clark as well, DJ Burns Jr., NC State forward, and Dan Hurley, UConn head coach. All of that coming up over the next 2 hours. It lived up to the hype. Now, a lot of times, the hype that we are normally used to, you'll have a Super Bowl where you have a week or two leading up to the event. This is a year in the making. This was LSU against Iowa, and it was a rematch, although it felt like a national title rematch. It was not, obviously. But this is a year in the making. A lot of times when you have boxing matches, or at least it used to be, there was a big buildup 6 months, 8 months before you'd have the heavyweight championship of the world at stake. That's what this was to a certain degree. It felt like that. But you still have South Carolina waiting. You still have UConn waiting. NC State is also in the men's and women's Final Four. But it lived up to the hype last night. And it's rare when we have a sporting event. Like the Super Bowl ended in a dramatic way. It wasn't a great Super Bowl. You know, the final 60 minutes, 45 minutes, okay. This was start to finish. You know, it was pretty tense. You know, the fact that it was 45-45 at halftime, so you started fresh second half. And then all of a sudden, Caitlin Clark went crazy. And I went back and looked at some of LSU's strategy last year against Caitlin Clark, and what I noticed is they were extremely physical with her on the perimeter. And, you know, you have a different roster. Haley Van Lith is probably 5'6", maybe 5'7", and, you know, a nice ball player, transferred in from Louisville, but she had no business guarding Caitlin Clark. But you didn't have anybody who could be physical with her and then get her frustrated. And that's what surprised me, LSU's game plan or lack thereof, and Kim Mulkey basically saying she's going to get her points. You know, the issue is you got to stop everybody else, and Iowa's, you know, the rest of the roster, starting five and the bench contributed. And that was the difference last. Caitlin got her points and then some, but when she gets 12 assists to go along with 41, then you're in trouble. And you saw that last night. Here is Kim Mulkey on Caitlin Clark.
She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. That's what the great ones do. I think they had a kid that scored 21 and 18. She had 12 assists. Kaitlyn Clark's not going to beat you by herself. It's what she does to make those other teammates better that helps her score points and them score points to beat you. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
And that's Kim, who played at a very high level and was a winner at Louisiana Tech, and she was a great coach at Baylor, and certainly what she did at LSU. Feels like a little bit of the heat has died down on her. We knew the Washington Post article was coming out. You had the LA Times have an article, and then the writer had to issue an apology and how he was characterizing UCLA versus LSU. And Kim Mulkey said all the right things last night, and I'm sure that she believes that Kaitlyn Clark is a generational talent. But it wasn't a chippy game. It was just a back and forth, and I love the tempo. And that's what's interesting with Iowa. If you let them get to their tempo, you're in trouble. And LSU allowed them, but there wasn't the physicality on Kaitlyn Clark. Knock her off her spot a little bit there. Whenever she, you know, would get to a spot, make sure you had somebody there. Put a hand on her. Just frustrate her. And I felt bad for Haley Van Lith, the LSU guard, when she was asked about that challenge.
What a tough cover Kaitlyn is. I mean, obviously you were fighting all night, but just the challenge that she presents.
Yeah, Kaitlyn's very skilled. She's a great player. She hit some tough shots, and there's not a whole lot you can do about some of the threes she hit. And I think, you know, her role, or the team around her that plays a role, they did a good job of executing their role. So, you know, ultimately they played better than us, and that's what it was.
Yeah, I felt bad for her because she was hung out to dry, and Kaitlyn was, who was a legitimate 6-foot guard, was able to shoot over top of her. And all it takes is just a little bit of daylight. And I was just surprised that LSU wasn't more aggressive with Kaitlyn Clark. Here's Kaitlyn Clark on what happened last year and did it affect this year.
I feel like we prepare for this game. We focus on Iowa. We do what Iowa does, and we'll come out on top. And that was kind of Coach Bluder's message. It's not about last year. You worry too much about the past. You know, you're going to get caught up in that. It's about being present, being where your feet are. Don't worry about being in the Final Four, be in this moment, be in the Elite Eight.
And we'll hear from her coach in about 15 minutes from now. What if it had gone the other way? What would we be saying about Kaitlyn Clark today? What would we be saying about LSU and Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey? Would we go, Kaitlyn Clark never won the big one. Great stats, never won the big one. Yes, Eden.
You know, Kim Mulkey's comments could be exactly the same, where she could say, you know, one player's not going to beat you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's the key. When you get to this point in the season, is it a team effort? One person can have an unbelievable night, but it's when you allow that person to help others have a great night, then you're in trouble. And that'll be the key. You know, when UConn plays Iowa, and the same way for Iowa against UConn, you got to make sure Paige Becker is going to score. She'll get her points. The question is, how many assists? How many rebounds? How many block shots? What do her teammates do? That's really the key. Right now, it's UConn getting 2.5 against Iowa, and NC State getting 11.5 against South Carolina. South Carolina, according to DraftKings, the odds-on favorite, a big favorite to win the national title, followed by Iowa, then UConn, and then NC State. The men's Final Four, NC State's getting 9 against Purdue, Alabama getting 12 against Connecticut. So we'll talk to DJ Burns, NC State forward, and Dan Hurley, the UConn coach. That'll be coming up next hour. Poll question for hour two is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
We're working with a lot of them right now.
Okay.
We got a whole bunch happening. Do you want to start with the Elite Eight Game 2?
Okay.
Or do you want to go into bunting? We also have something based off of the Final Four. So there's a lot right now. Bunting to break up a no-hitter, ... is your options are baseball or Bush League.
Ooh, okay. Now, I say it's baseball.
Yes.
By the way, stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. I say it's baseball. Fritzy and Paulie, I think that it's Bush League to break up a no-hitter.
Right now it's 53% say Bush League.
Okay.
The comments are great on this, though. They're fantastic. Let's see. We also have a more interesting remaining Final Four, men's or women's. Right now, women's have 57% of that vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the storylines are better, but it's because the women, they're staying. You know, it's interesting. Here's Gina Auriemma talking to about Juju Watkins, the star freshman at USC.
GoPro. I told her, I said, it's a great opportunity for you in WNBA, overseas, three-on-three league. I'm sure there's great places for you to play. I love Lindsay, but you got bigger fish to fry. She was very emotional. She was crying like all competitors. She put her heart and soul into this. You know, I just reminded her, you know, you had an amazing year and your team wouldn't be here without you.
She is spectacular. You know, they just need a little more depth there. They needed maybe one other really good player. But they got a really good recruiting class coming in. And I'm happy for Paige Beckers to go through a couple knee surgeries. She was the player of the year as a freshman. Not the freshman player of the year. She was the player of the year as a freshman. And, you know, it was her, and then we, you know, kind of stumbled upon Caitlin Clark because Paige got hurt. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking around, and you're going, all right, I don't know who that person is, but she can play. She can shoot. And then all of a sudden, we realized just how great Caitlin Clark was. But Paige Beckers, wonderful talent, and getting an opportunity to go against Caitlin Clark in the Final Four. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Good morning, those watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app. Tailgate Moonshine, Salted Caramel. Okay, it's available, and we brought this back. It is buttery, smooth, toasted caramel flavor kissed by the Himalayan Pink Salt. Yes, it's the Tailgate Moonshine, and it is available. All right.
The newsletter actually has a really great recipe that you can use.
Yeah.
So sign up for the newsletter.
Okay. Yes. I think we have 90,000 people signed up for the newsletter, and you get special offers there. You get a heads up on things before the regular audience does. But go to danpatrick.com to sign up. Yes, Paul?
I've seen it used over ice cream before. Liqueurs and liquors like this, even like a salted caramel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm not saying I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream, though.
That would be a salted
caramel. Not for the kids.
Caramel.
For the adults.
Yes. So we have the Elite Eight. And yesterday, we had the plate-in game. It was chicken parm against meatball parm. And then the winner was able to move on to face the Reuben. Well, chicken parm advanced, and people are upset about that. But, hey, you're voting on this as well. Today, grilled cheese versus a Cuban sandwich.
Right now, grilled cheese up to 62% of the vote, out to an early lead.
We are sending out P.A. Ray. He's going to get some sandwiches later, just to refresh our memory of how good these sandwiches are. All right, Andrew in Washington. Hi, Andrew. What's on your mind today?
Oh, good morning, Dan and Dennis. Thanks for taking my call. That was a great night of women's college basketball. It was really the first time I sat down and watched two full games in a row. Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark, they really showed out for the team. Juju Watkins as well, and Angel Reese. What I noticed, though, Dan, I don't know if this bothers you as well, is like there's so many different shooting forms in the women's basketball game. You'd think that they'd have a shooting coach on the bench and they would kind of get a little bit of a fundamental form because they do so well in every other aspect of their women's game. So I was kind of surprised to see how many different forms there were. Even at the free throw line, you're like, wow, how's it coming out that way? But along with all of that women's college basketball last night, there is a stat from the NBA last night that might have been overlooked. So Devin Booker joined Wilt Chamberlain in the record books. With 52 points in a 124-111 victory over the Pelicans, Booker joins Wilt as the only NBA players to have three consecutive games of at least 50 points against the same team. His last three games against the Pelicans are 162 points, which is the most points in a three-game span against one team in the last 50 seasons.
Start of the day, 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 start of the day.
stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. We also had a no-hitter last night, Houston's Ronel Blanco. He struck out 7, walked 2 as the Astros beat the Blue Jays. He was making his 8th major league start. He had never pitched a complete game as a professional prior to the no-hitter, and this was the Astros' first win of the season. And the last time a team's first win of the season was a no-hitter was 2001 with the Red Sox. Now, I don't remember who would have thrown that no-hitter for the Red Sox in 01. Trying to do the Rolodex here with the roster for the Red Sox in 2001. Yes, Paul?
I throw out a name like a Bronson Arroyo without knowing anything. I'm checking the name.
Yes, Todd?
I'm looking at Hideo Nomo. Does that sound right?
Hideo Nomo. Well, I'm not trusting anything you're giving me because you had a bad first hour.
I'm looking at Hideo Nomo April 4th, 2001 in a 3-0 game.
Okay. Are you sure?
I'm as sure as Google is that it was Hideo Nomo.
It would have taken this a hell of a long time to get there, by the way.
Is it yes or no?
Hideo Nomo, 2001. Clay Buchholz did it in 2007.
Okay. But this early in the season, first win of the season, that's the point we're trying to make. We didn't have a good no-hitter first hour, so we're rebounding. Yes, Todd. Oh, you understand that. You gave up a few hits with the no-hitters.
I did.
Okay. You took a few hits. Yes, Paul.
It's very weird to see that no-hitters, you don't need to be a great player or even necessarily a good player. I don't think Roger Clemens had one in his career. Is that correct? Didn't Roger Clemens never have a no-hitter?
Even when he struck out 21?
I don't think he ever had one.
He didn't throw a no-hitter.
Which you'd think by odds, he would be first guy you'd think of would have one.
Did Greg Maddux have a no-hitter?
I'm going to say no, but I got to check. But guys, even just looking at the Red Sox, John Lester, Clay Buchholz, Derek Lowe, Hideo Nomo, pretty good pitchers. But then there's lots of names who are just average pitchers.
Yeah, but sometimes you're matched against the second or third or fourth best pitcher on the other team as well. And maybe you get out to an early lead and maybe you pitch differently. I have no idea the science behind a no-hitter. And then it's amazing when you hear a pitcher go, yeah, I didn't have good stuff in the bullpen. You're like, okay. Yeah, Paul.
Great pitchers who never had a no-hitter. Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, Greg Maddux, Steve Carlton. Those are four maybe of the top 10 of all time, or at least of their times.
Yeah.
No, that's nuts.
That is wild. That's wild.
It is. Yeah. It's crazy.
That waters down the accomplishment.
Yes, it does.
Lightly.
Yeah. Well, the most famous no-hitter, perfect game, is Don Larsen in the World Series. And I think the headline was the imperfect man throws the perfect game. And it was Don Larsen who had a pretty much an average baseball career, but threw a perfect game in the World Series. What was that, 1956 or 57, something like that? All right, so we have our poll question for hour two, Seton.
Yeah. Well, we currently have 3 poll questions going, okay. So we don't want to overload.
Okay, yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to the Iowa head coach, Lisa Bluter, as they get ready to face Connecticut, and more of your phone calls as well. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. She's the head coach, women's head basketball coach at Iowa. Lisa Bluter in her 24th season as the Hawkeyes head coach. Kind enough to join us. Coach, how much sleep last night?
Not a lot, and that's okay with me.
The voice sounds like you were coaching. That's a coach's voice right there.
Yeah, it's a coach's voice in April for sure. A little gravelly, but that's okay. It's working, and that's all that matters.
What did you learn personally from the loss last year in the title game to LSU?
You know, I really learned what I learned the most about being in the Final Four last year and being in that game was the amount of – this is going to sound like the amount of rest that you need. It's just like, it's so tiring going through this process in the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight to the Final Four. It's extremely exhausting, and just making sure that we spend less time on X's and O's and more time on recovery and rest.
Well, that's what I marvel at, that you see these scores, you know, it's Kobe, it's Allen Iverson. Every night they have to go out there and have more energy than the opposition. And that's another thing that amazes me about Caitlin. She doesn't come out of the game, and you're playing at a really fast pace. How do you kind of coach her so she's not her own worst enemy?
Well, you know, we play like that all the time. And, that, you know, it's not like we just started playing like that now. We've been playing like that for years, and that's her style. She loves it. She's comfortable with it. Believe me, she never wants to come out of a game. If I try taking her out of a game, it doesn't go down so well. So she wants to be on that court.
Explain your tempo and how do you get to the game to your tempo?
You know, we just try to push hard on every rebound. Anytime that we have the opportunity to get a stop, it's going to result in us being able to push. And it's just a philosophy. I love getting down, and we'll take some bad shots out of it. Some people get so worried about, you know, they have to have the perfect shot. We're going to take open threes and transition. And, yeah, you might have a few more turnovers. I can live with that because I think it puts so much pressure on the defense over and over again, and it wears on them by the fourth quarter.
When's the last time you yelled at Caitlin?
Probably last night. I haven't seen her yet this morning, so not yet today.
Wait, how could you yell at her after last night's game?
Because she's Caitlin. Got to keep her humble.
Okay, explain to me when you call technicals in practice on her. What is the message you're trying to send to her?
You know, we bring in officials to, you know, and they're not like Division I officials, and we bring in officials to work our scrimmages, and sometimes they get a little bit more intimidated of her than they should, I think. And so, yeah, when she acts up in a scrimmage, I'm going to tee her up, because that's the only way she's going to learn, right? I mean, she has to learn to control her behavior and control the controllables. Officials are not a controllable. Don't bother trying.
When did you give her the green light to shoot whenever, from wherever?
Probably when she walked on campus, because she was capable of it. You know, it's our dunk, right? I mean, it's something that nobody else can do in our game, probably men or women, and she's fearless. And so, I mean, she was doing this right from the beginning. But actually, her range has increased as she's been in the weight room. You know, in her freshman year, she's pretty scrawny. She's still kind of scrawny. But, you know, now she's got a little bit more muscle on her, and that's helped her shot range as well.
Okay, 24 years in the sport. If I would have told you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you're going to have a transcendent player. You're going to have a Steph Curry. What would you have said?
Thank you. I mean, you know, honestly, you know, everybody when they're recruiting, oh, she's the, you know, great player. Everybody knows she's a great player, right? Everybody knows that. But to me, it's like nobody can predict that somebody's going to become this good. And if they say they predicted it, that's hogwash. That's not happening.
What kind of relationship do you have with Gina Auriemma?
You know, a friendly relationship. You know, we're not like close friends or anything like that, but we spend some time together with USA Basketball and things like that, and on the recruiting trail, but not somebody that I've, you know, spent a lot of time with.
What was the message at halftime last night when LSU ties it up right before you go in?
Yeah, it was, hey, tie game, 20 minutes, you know, and we thought they were getting tired at the end of that second quarter. So let's come out with a lot of energy. And I thought our team did. I thought our team started the first and the third quarter with great energy and kind of took control of that game right off the bat. You know, when Caitlin comes out of the locker room, she's got that look in her eye, and she hits that deep three. In the first possession, I thought, okay, things are going to go okay.
Looking back on last year's title game, correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like LSU got into her more. They were more physical. They were putting a hand in there. And then you had Haley Van Lith this time around. And how surprised were you that that was their strategy against Caitlin?
You know, I thought Haley did a nice job of keeping her in front of her. It was, you know, we had to give her a lot of ball screens to get her to the rim. I think I was surprised she got to the rim so easily in the first quarter, and then they kind of adjusted after that. But I thought Haley did a nice job on Caitlin, but I think it was a more physical game last year.
Yeah, it just felt like they were going to try to frustrate her. I don't know if they even got close enough to frustrate her, because it felt like last year she was maybe taken out of her game a little bit.
Yeah, and I think she got married to the three too much last year. You know, she took a lot of threes last night, but last year she wasn't making them, and she just kept going and going and going. And we tried to encourage her in the first quarter, get to the rim, get some easy ones first. I thought she did a really good job of that in the first quarter.
You're looking at these crowds, though, and, Coach, you're seeing young girls there with their parents showing up early, wearing jerseys. I mean, I wonder what the impact, I mean, Caitlin's impact in 10 years from now, 7 years from now, 5 years from now, what do you think it's going to be on the sport?
I think there's a lot of little girls and little boys out in their driveways this morning trying to shoot like Caitlin Clark. And I think that's just so good for our sport. It's, you know, she has come at the very right time with the NIL, with social media, with all the television coverage. She has come at the perfect time to help this sport explode. And I think she's going to have a long lasting effect. And the next generation is coming up. We got great players coming up around the country that are young, and they're just going to take it from here.
I did ask her last year, I said, are you given any thought to staying an extra year? And she said, yeah, because I love it so much. With NIL, like, you know, she's going to, she'll still make the endorsements, but, you know, the NIL is still playing. Did you have any conversations with her about going to the WNBA or, you know, maybe coming back for another year?
Yeah, absolutely. I had conversations with her. I had conversations with her parents. You know, we obviously wanted her to come back, right? I mean, that was a no-brainer for us. But, you know, it was a hard decision for her, and she looked at it as a win-win situation. And I think she's at peace with her decision to go to the WNBA, and I'll be her biggest fan there.
What's the schedule this week?
This afternoon, we're heading to Cleveland. So we're going to go out and have a nice team dinner tonight, kind of get ready for our scout tonight. I haven't even started that, but we'll have that ready for the team tonight. And then a couple of practices and a lot of hoopla that goes on at the Final Four that's fun, but can also be really taxing. So we're going to be careful of that this year.
Do you have advanced scouts that were at the UConn game?
Not live, but we've been working on them. We had scouts ready for USC and UConn, and so we're prepared.
Coach, congratulations. Have fun in Cleveland.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Let's go, Hawks.
That's Lisa Bluter, the Iowa women's head basketball coach in her 24th season. Got that coach's voice this time of the year.
It's a voice.
But LSU was so much more physical with her on the perimeter. But they had different players who were guarding her. They frustrated her. Now, she had numbers, but that's what you got to do. I mean, there's certain things like Edie. Can you get him in foul trouble? Klingon, can you get him in foul trouble? Caitlin, can you frustrate her a little bit? Can you take her out of her game? You know, Paige Beckers. Like all these great players. DJ Burns. What happens if he gets in foul trouble for NC State? Now, these are the things it comes down to, maybe one player or a couple of moments there. Silly foul. Now, all of a sudden, you go to the bench with two fouls early. And then the team, the opposition, takes advantage. That's what sometimes this comes down to. But I was surprised with the defense last night. Because Haley Van Lith might be quick, fun, was a star at Louisville. But it just, I felt bad for her. She was on an island out there. And even like showing, you know, when they do a pick and roll, you know, that the big has to show a little bit there. Now, Caitlin's smart enough to know, are you going to stay on me? If you're going to stay on me, I'll drive by you. But I was a little surprised with that. I'd be curious if UConn has that kind of player or players, because it's going to take a couple people. And the fact she doesn't come out of a game and they just go, they just run. Just the energy to be able to do that. All right. Let's get some phone calls here. Dave in Iowa. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Great show. In respect to the women's college basketball game, I found it interesting. The 2020 recruiting class from the mothership for high school women's athletes or basketball players, number one, Paige Beckers, number two, Angel Reese, three, Cameron Brink from Stanford, four, Caitlin Clark, and five, Camilla Cardoza from South Carolina. And it reminds me a lot of men's basketball back in the 80s and 90s when you could actually develop relationships with these players for the course of 4 years. And I wonder what your thoughts are on if that's having much to do with the rise in women's basketball, other than just these great players, but the ability to get to know them. And two, is there anything you think the men's game can do to try to capture some of that momentum? Because the gap between the two now is smaller than I think it's ever been.
Yeah, but Dave, you have to have storylines. And these players aren't going to stay for 3 years or 4 years. Juju Watkins is staying at USC. Now, I'm interested in when do we start seeing more transfer portal with the women's game. Now, we see it with the men's game. Are we going to see that? You know, Haley Van Lith, Angel Reese, you know, they transferred in. To be able to kind of, if you're a player and you saw USC, do you go, man, I'd love to play for them and play with Juju Watkins? That's what happens sometimes, that all of a sudden players talk to players and then, you know, you can transfer and spend the final year or 2 years of your college career. But storylines. Zach Edey has been there. How many years has he been at Purdue? DJ Burns, how many years has he been at NC State? Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers. Like, having those players stay. I mean, that's important because then you develop a rivalry. That you're able to develop the players. They're in a system for a while. They understand the system. They grow in the system. Yes, Eden.
Well, you know, and the women staying in college, it a lot has to do because they have to.
Yeah.
They don't have the ability to go pro until they're 22.
Yeah.
So you have to wonder, in 10 years, is that rule still in place? If Caitlin Clark is going to have this effect that we're speculating she might, will that rule stay in place for 10 years where you know, different players can't go earlier?
Well, I think it'll have to do with the success of the WNBA. because if you can now make money, more money, then maybe you'll have, you know, a push where these players are going to say, why are we held to a different standard than the men? But I think it'll be predicated on the WNBA, and that is financially successful and worth leaving college to go and do that. Yeah, Paul.
And Juju Watkins of USC can make equal or more money staying at USC than going to the WNBA. Now, it's a floating scale. Like, her salary in the WNBA is fixed. Her marketing is unlimited. But right now, her, air quotes, salary at USC is not capped. NIL could pay you whatever they want under the guise of being NIL. And then she could make all the marketing money she wants.
Charlie in California. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Dan. Hey, first time, long time.
Hey, Charlie.
It was interesting to watch the game last night, and I kind of thought that Caitlin Clark's game over the past year has grown a lot more than Angel Reese's game has grown over the past year, and I think that was the big difference in the game.
Well, I'm not going to put this on Angel Reese. She played pretty, but this is who she is. Now, she missed some free throws. But that's what she is. She'll give you, you know, 15 and 15. But that's what a traditional post player is. Caitlin Clark, there's nobody like her. She's one of one. There's a lot of Angel Reese's playing in the WNBA or have come for her. And she stood out because she won a national championship. She had some swag to her, you know, playing on national TV. Going to the WNBA, you know, she's not on par with a Leah Boston and, you know, some of these other, there's some really good players in there. And they play a similar game. So she might just be somebody who gets 15 points and 10 rebounds. You know, doesn't have great range shooting-wise, or at least doesn't use it. She's a traditional post player. Caitlin's different. Batman in Iowa. Hi, Batman.
Hey, Dan, first time, long time, 5'9", 190, soft.
Soft.
Hey, long time listeners from the Dibs days.
Okay.
Love to hear some Dibs stories sometime. Hey, first of all, a couple things. First thing about Iowa, obviously the pride of the state. I see Iowa, one thing Iowa does that if you watch for is when they get a lead in the fourth quarter by like 8 to 10 points, sometimes Caitlin's taking that shot 2 or 3 seconds into the shot clock, and the other team has got it, makes the game longer, and that could get dangerous, and it has a couple times on the games they've lost. Nextly, West Coast or East Coast bias on sandwich, man. We're talking about Iowa. What's Iowa's sandwich? The fried pork tenderloin. How can you leave that one off?
Okay, well, we did. Sorry, Batman. But that's regional. So then we would be playing just to Iowa, and then that's not fair to our East Coast bias or Midwest bias or, you know, West Coast bias here. People getting very territorial there with their sandwiches. It is grilled cheese versus the Cuban sandwich today. Yeah,
what,
Paul?
What if Coach Bluter of Iowa said, Dan, thanks for the call about Caitlin Clark, but what's with no pork tenderloin on the menu?
Then? I would have put it on the menu.
For Coach?
I would have put it on the Elite Eight for Coach. All right, we'll take a break. We'll update our poll results. Got a busy final hour, and we have DJ Burns at the top of the hour, NC State forward, and Dan Hurley, the Connecticut head basketball coach, back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, a ton, including
include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
All right, let's see. Got our poll questions here. Got a busy final hour. Are no-hitters still special? We had one last night, Ronel Blanco of the Astros. Triple-doubles, not special anymore. 50-point games, still special? Devin Booker had one last night.
Nah.
Triple-double, not special anymore. Like, you're surprised if the Joker or Luka doesn't have a triple-double. Every night, I'm surprised. Be like, what? He only had 35, 17, and 9? Yes, Todd?
And sometimes they're manufactured to get you that extra assist or rebound. You can fudge that a little bit if it means that much to you to get the triple-double.
Yeah, Paul?
Wembanyama the other day, I think it was last Friday, so it was on a weekend, he went for 40 and 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't talk about it as much because we were off Saturday, Sunday, but it's like, that to me felt like, whoa, that's nutty.
40, yeah, but Jalen 20. Brunson put up 61 in the game.
I think 40-20 is much more impressive than 61.
I'd rather have 61.
I know you.
Yeah.
With no assist.
I mean, 40-20 is nice.
I wonder how often 40-20 happens. That seems like a Kevin Love-ish stat. Or maybe the Joker.
Or Wilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Todd, could you check with our stats guy?
Sure.
Who gave me the wrong stats on the no-hitters in the first hour of the program?
That's okay.
Yeah. How many 40-20 games have we had in the last? Well, you had one with Luka. Didn't he go 60-20? I think in a game, was that last year or was that this year? I think he went 60-20. Probably haven't had too many 60-20s in the last 50 years. Yes, Paul?
I'm looking at 40-20s. It's basically the Wilt Chamberlain category. Shaq had one, and I think he may have had it as a rookie. I got to keep looking at this list. Elgin Baylor.
Wait, Luka didn't have a 20 rebound?
This list is not up that up to date. I got to find an update to list, but it's basically the Wilt Chamberlain stat, 40-20.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought Luka had 60-20.
Wilt, Shaquille O'Neal in 93. At a 40-20 game.
Shaquille O'Neal.
We're checking on the list.
All right. Luciano in Brooklyn is back. What debate can I settle for you today?
Morning, Capo. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Marvin, peace, King. What up, son? And, of course, to the good fellas, Todd Seaton and that rap bastard, Polly. What's it about, baby?
Rap bastard? Jeez.
All right. All right, Capo di tutti, Capi. Listen, this is why you get the big bucks, all right?
Okay, here we go.
So, in the spirit of the young baseball season, I want you to settle this debate. The debate is, what's the better baseball movie, The Sandlot or The First Major League with Charlie Sheen and Wesley Snipes?
Okay. Certainly different. Sandlot tugs on your heartstrings a little bit. Your childhood, hitting it into a neighbor's backyard. There's a dog there. You need the ball. How do you get the ball? You're hanging with your boys. You go to the pool and act like you're drowning, so the good-looking lifeguard will give you CPR. I mean, that tired old story. I would probably say Sandlot just because it takes you back in time. You know, that's growing up. That's a fable. You know, Major League, we can't identify with that. Yeah, we played for a bad team. They wanted us to be bad, and then we came together and we won a championship. I would say Sandlot. Sandlot was fun. And then you had the voice of James Earl Jones there. He was the neighbor, right?
It was kind of done like Stand By Me.
Yeah.
To that like throwback voiceover nostalgia thing.
Yeah. You know, it's good call.
Same movie, just with baseball.
Yeah. Anybody take Major League here?
I find Major League more rewatchable. It's more of a fun watch. The Sandlot, when it's on, I usually don't stay.
Well, Major League, you have scenes.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Sandlot, it wasn't necessarily, it was just the theme of the movie.
Major League's campy and fun and, you know, peak Charlie Sheen. It's very hokey.
Yeah.
It's like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Happy in Virginia. Hi, Happy.
Hi, Dan. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm happy.
Thank you. First time, long time, 5'11", a 64-year-old, 183. I had two quick ones for you. If you can get in the second one, we'll see. But first of all, this one's probably going to be up Fritchie's lane. Athletes who are glad their parents didn't name them Dick, such as Jalen Hurts, and from golf, Sam Burns. And secondly, I was watching the Ten Commandments on Saturday. Who has better pecs in the movie? Charlton Heston, Jason Momoa, Terry Crews, or Ricardo Montalban from Wrath of Khan?
All right. I can say that is the most random phone call we've probably had.
Deliver us from bondage.
I would say Jason Momoa, probably. But I don't know if, you know, what's artificially enhanced, medically enhanced, like what is real.
Heston was clearly a...
Heston was not on any juice, that's for sure. But not too many times do I look at a guy's pecs and go, you know, I wonder who's got better pecs.
I do. I'm going to go Terry Crews on that.
Okay.
He likes to make them little dance backstage and the thing he does. Mm-hmm. He did it for us once when he was in New York City studio.
Yeah. What's with the little voice that you're going
to... Am I doing that?
Yeah, you're just going to...
I don't know.
Yeah, remember when he did that to us? You sound like Jake in L.A.
Just giving my opinion like I'm supposed to.
The Oracle, who's graduating from Syracuse, by the way.
How about that?
With your son.
In a little over a month from now.
Yes, Paul.
Ricardo Montalban was one of the stars of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. He played Khan. And he wears this, like, alien sweater thing that shows off his pecs. And the director of the movie says, stop asking me if his chest is fake. He is not. It was all Ricardo Montalban.
Alien sweater thing.
I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
It's like a cardigan from the future.
Yeah.
Is that what you go in and order? Yeah. Do you have the alien sweater? No, we're sold out of that.
He's like over 55 and he's ripped. He's ripped Ricardo Montalban back then.
Yeah. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at a guy's chest.
Random question.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
I think you should spend more time doing that.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
You don't know what you're missing, Dan. I could tell you that.
There's some nice chests out there.
Thank you, Todd. Final
very
hour
in my manhood. I can say that.
Final hour coming up. The star of NC State, DJ Burns Jr., will join us. Dan Hurley, the Connecticut basketball coach.
Overrated.
No, don't be saying that.
Talk about my coach.
Final hour on the way. Fritzy, Seton, Marv, Paulie, yours truly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals.
Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.